Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, then call in now. Just dial 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Oz Guinness starts the book Renaissance with the words, "Can it be that after 2,000 years, this too shall pass?" That phrase finally written over the Christian faith? Is the Christian church finished? Is the Christian faith headed for the great museum of history? Are the enemies of faith now in charge in certain trends in the West irreversible? In the book Renaissance, available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Oz Guinness, he answers these kinds of poignant questions. Again, it is available for your gift. You can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can also access Renaissance on the web at equip.org or talk to one of our resource consultants. They're standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Oz Guinness was born in China during World War II. His parents were medical missionaries there, and he is a survivor of the horrendous Hunan famine of 1943, in which 5 million people died in a mere matter of months, and that included his two brothers. So Oz is a witness to the climax of the Chinese Revolution in 1949 and the beginning of the Reign of Terror under Mao. And thus he knows a little about ideas having consequences. And thus in his new book, Renaissance, The Power of the Gospel, However Dark the Times, he writes, "Renaissance will not come when Christian leaders sit around a table with yellow pads and then outline their visions from mission to measurable outcomes. No, it's going to come when men and women of God wrestle as Jacob wrestled with the angel of Yahweh. The stakes are high. The urgency is great. The gravity is plain. And as such, we wait for God's answer respecting Renaissance," says Oz. "But as we wait, we work." Oz now joins me on today's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Good to have you back with us.
Hank, it's always a pleasure. I say, you know, the central issue of our time is faithfulness, and your program is a wonderful example of how we should stand for that.
Well, bless you, my dear brother. I just returned from Asia yesterday, and I witnessed once again the burgeoning growth of Christianity there. One mission team alone working in the north of China, led by the Spirit of God, has been catalytic in leading 27,000 to faith in Christ, establishing 440 house churches. But much of the church in China, just like in the West, Oz, is at best tumbleweed. There's no root. And you speak to the need for discipleship within the body of Christ.
Well, the wonderful thing is the church in China, the same is true in Sub-Saharan Africa, is growing just incredibly. But evangelism is vastly outstripping discipleship. And of course, with the repression in China, they're not allowed to have any seminaries. So you have the problem of people being vulnerable to a lot of heresies and to sort of cult-like things. But they put us to shame in terms of their courage and their simplicity and their faith, but they really need strong teaching and good discipleship. And I would argue they not only need good discipleship to back up their evangelism, they need discipleship that knows the challenges of the modern world that are coming. because what's happening in the global south is the gospel's exploding, but modernity is coming, and you can see in the West, we have capitulated to the structures and the seductions of the modern world, and that's our problem.
You know, it was interesting, as I was talking to some of the mission teams and doing training there, I became ever more aware of the problem that you just cited, the problem of the cults. They out-finance the Christian church oftentimes in many of the provinces. They out-strategize them. They seem to know their Bibles better, and thus they're very good at scripture twisting. And they don't have to play by the standards of the Christian faith. I mean, they can use deceit, they can use sexual manipulation, they can use all kinds of tactics to just pick off new converts. And I think it just highlights the realities that we are facing in the West. What's happening in the West is being imported to places like China. And as you say, without discipleship, without deep root, you can have an implosion.
Oh, no, absolutely. And I remember when I was out in China, one of my last visits, one of the house church leaders said to me, many of my people are only two unanswered prayers away from going to someone else. In other words, they came to Christ because of very genuine healing, say of a baby or someone in their family, and then a couple of times later, their prayers are not answered, and the Lord doesn't always answer our prayers like we expect in the name it, claim it stuff. And you can see they then fall away because they don't have solid teaching. So the challenge of the hour is that solid discipleship and teaching. You know, a couple of months ago when people said it could be that in a few years' time, the Christian faith will be the majority faith in China. And I was asked, you know, what did I think? I said to them, that will be a greater challenge even than the persecution of Mao Zedong. Because when the persecution came and it was fierce, terribly fierce, but the courage and the simplicity of their faith saw them through. But when they moved to, say, Shanghai and Beijing, the big cities, there are challenges and seductions in modern life that are actually worse than the challenge of persecution.
You know, you mentioned the word of faith movement and the health and wealth prosperity gospel, and that's one of the things that I was struck with just last week, again, as I was doing some training for mission teams there. They are absolutely being devastated by the prosperity gospel. And I suppose the mission teams, more than anything else, are now aware of the desperate need for training in this area because the gospel of prosperity promises what it can't perform.
Yes, I absolutely agree with you. That it is the vilest distortion of the gospel, and in parts of Africa, and now in Asia, it's really leading to an exploitation of the poor in ways that our Lord surely would have been outraged at. And sadly, it's coming from this country. And whether it's the shallow stuff of the sort of self-esteem gospel or the outrageous exploitation of the health and wealth gospel, we've got to stand against these things here because they're having such a huge effect over there. And in both places, they're going to lead to a visceral reaction against the real gospel because of these outrageous distortions.
Talking to Oz Guinness, he is the author of Renaissance, The Power of the Gospel. However dark the times, it is a must-read. Oz is a prophetic voice to our generation. If he writes it, I read it, and so should you. The book is available on the web for your gift, equip.org, equip.org, or you can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, resource consultant, standing by, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. I just wrote a book called The Osteenification of American Christianity, and talk about Joel Osteen as the de facto high priest of a new brand of Christianity, perfectly suited for a feel-good generation. The reality, Oz, is that he now has a billion impressions per month on Facebook and Twitter combined. The devastation of that gospel, though it looks perfectly tailored for our generation, the devastation is just massive.
I couldn't agree with you more, and I'm just outraged by the shallowness of it and the distortion of the real thing. But, you know, if we're going to move into a time with even greater challenges than we're facing now, that sort of shallow gospel simply will not cut the mustard. And we know that the world we're going into, only the real gospel lived out with courage will cut the mustard. So my book's actually very positive, because while people are despairing today, I argue, if you look back in the scriptures and, of course, in history, what is it that makes the gospel such a profoundly transforming power? And that's what we need to explore today. So we've got all the shallow distortions and the counterfeits, and I was writing to you about the miserable way in which people like Catholic progressives like Richard Rohr are gripping the minds of evangelicals around the country. We've got to stand against these, and no one is more faithful than you and your ministry in doing that. But at the same time, we need to take confidence in what it is to live the gospel and to know that without a shadow of doubt, it has a power like no other. And if we live it out, however dark the times, the Lord can work.
That's a powerful thing that you just said, because, I mean, when you read Paul's explanation of spiritual warfare, he begins by pointing out the power of God to preserve as opposed to the power of Satan to pillage. And so if we put on the full armor of God, we are guaranteed victors in the invisible war. But if we do not, we're guaranteed casualties. One of the things that you write about in the book, Oz, is that a church that has beaten back Hitler's would-be master race and Stalin's would-be master class now stands weak before three titanic menaces, the first of which is the master faith of Islamicism. Talk about that and its implications.
Well, you hardly need to underscore it as you look at the Middle East, which is in civil war with a huge convulsion as Islam confronts modernity. And at the extremes, as we're seeing in the Islamic State, you can see where it leads to. The tragedy is that we in the West, and I speak as an Englishman as well as someone living in America, we are not demonstrating the alternative. And I look at 50 years of American culture warring, the U.S. is squandering its great heritage. So the administration is absolutely right to talk about the barbarism that we see in the Islamic State. But you look at their political correctness, they don't have the guts to say this is Islam. It's not the whole of Islam, but it is a militant version of Islam. It's not, as John Kerry said, a cult masquerading as a religion. No, it is Islam, and it's actually uncannily close to Islam in the 7th century. So we've got to get out of this political correctness. But more importantly, we've got to practice the best of the American way here. And the strict separationism you see in certain legal circles or the secularism that wants to drive religion out of public life, these things are kind of a secularist equivalent of the Sharia. So America's failing its own great past, and that's the real tragedy. We have no ultimate problem with the Islamic State. They're not going to overrule us. We have a problem here, as I argue in another book. It's not the wolves at the door, it's the termites in the floor.
And it's interesting to me that in academic circles that there is typically a higher view of Islam than there is of Christianity.
Well, yeah, absolutely. But we're in what you might call an ABC moment. When cultures are declining, they believe in anything but the, quote, old faith that made them what they were. And you can see the ABC moment is anything but Christianity. You remember G.K. Chesterton's famous remark, you know well, you know, when people no longer believe in God, they don't believe in nothing, they believe in anything. And you look at the crazy, idiotic, disastrous things people are believing today. But when we run through these, the gospel will shine again by contrast. So at the moment, one of our greatest challenges in the West is secularism, atheism. But you go back to, say, the atomists of the Greek and the Roman world, it was forlorn and bleak, and it will soon be shown to be that today. So we have no fear in the long term. But we've got to show the contrast of the brightness of the gospel over against these dark and very inadequate alternatives.
Again, we're talking to Oz Guinness. He is the author of Renaissance. It's a must-read. The subtitle, The Power of the Gospel, However Dark the Times. You get your copy for your gift on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28. 888-888-2271. Resource Consultants is always standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. When we come back from the break, Oz is going to deal with this unrelenting narrative of liberalism, which in the end seems to be a totalitarian philosophy that screams, do it our way or else. We'll be right back after the break with more of Oz Guinness, and then later on in the broadcast, your questions answered right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please don't touch that dial. We'll be back in just a bit.
Reflecting on the long history of Christianity, the great 20th century writer G.K. Chesterton once wryly noted, at least five times the faith has to all appearances gone to the dogs. In each of these five cases, it was the dog that died. Chesterton's conclusion underscores why, from the perspective of history, any pronouncements regarding the end of Christianity are wildly premature. In his new book, Renaissance, The Power of the Gospel, However Dark the Times, prominent social critic Dr. Oz Guinness provides a penetrating analysis of why, once again, the Christian faith in the West is going to the dogs. He also provides inspiration and reasons for hope that a powerful renewal is still possible. To receive your copy of Renaissance as our appreciation for your financial support, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Hank will be back right after this.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also, included is the entire two-hour audio gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This two-hour audio gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater, the text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.
Western cultural elites have disregarded God for more than two centuries, but now, in the early 21st century, Dr. Oz Guinness concludes that their movement from disregard to desecration to decadence is going mainstream, and the United States is only the lead society among those close to the tipping point. Is there genuine hope for societal redemption in the midst of growing decadence? In his book, Renaissance, The Power of the Gospel, However Dark the Times, Dr. Oz Guinness declares a resounding yes. When the gospel is lived out in practice, it is the most powerful force in history, both for individuals and for entire societies. To receive your copy of Renaissance as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Modernity has perverted our understanding of beauty with the corrosive acid of relativism in the same ways it has corrupted truth and goodness, and for the same reasons. Christians should be prepared to uphold the position that beauty is an objective feature of the world that is linked to truth and goodness by its origin in the nature of God. Other topics include Left Behind, From Root to Ripened Fruit, Jesus-Shaped Cultures, How Faithful Christians Have Transformed Societies, Materialism for the Masses, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org.
Thank you.
Most serious students of world history would identify the Renaissance as a key cultural movement that spanned the period from the 14th to the 17th century. Many astute observers of the West today would concur that a sweeping Renaissance is exactly what is needed now. In his new book, Renaissance, The Power of the Gospel, However Dark the Times, Oz Guinness surveys the great challenges facing the West today and why a Renaissance is urgently needed. To receive your copy of Renaissance as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And just about a week ago, I was in Kansas City, a sold-out radio rally, and it was a tremendous time. But I'm reminded that in the Kansas City Star, not all that long ago, there was an account of a happy, kind, sweet, considerate 6-year-old named AJ who had been determined to be transgender. 6-year-old, and he made that determination. This rough and tumble kid, according to the article, once sported buzz cuts, but now is growing her chestnut hair below her shoulders because AJ is now a girl. The narrative in the article was crystal clear. Those who would so much as bat an eye at the determination of a 6-year-old to become a girl are like bigots who once fueled the fires of racism in America. So the arc of history, says the Star, is moving quickly towards both greater tolerance and acceptance. And as you talk about this titanic menace, the unrelenting narrative of liberalism, which in the end seems to be a totalitarian philosophy that says you've got to do it our way, and this under the guise of liberal tolerance.
Sadly, 19th century liberalism in its progressive form today is becoming highly illiberal. And as you say, there are features that are totalitarian. Or you take, say, the real bullies in today's culture are the gay activists. You can go on and on and on to many places. And I think we've got to challenge our liberal friends. Do you realize what you're doing? You're the ones who are undermining freedom in our world. And this is incredibly serious. So you started with the transgender stuff. You know, the head of psychiatry at Johns Hopkins pointed out that transgender operations are biologically impossible, and they always lead to psychological problems. And in other words, we are sowing a harvest of psychological confusion and also social chaos, and we've got to stand against this. But I do think I would call it a Samuel moment. You remember when Samuel was confronted by the people who wanted to replace him as judge, and at first he was very offended. And the Lord says, so no, Samuel, they're not trying to replace you, they're replacing me. And then he tells Samuel to go back and say, this is your choice, and these will be the consequences, but God forbid that I should stop doing what I'm called to do. And we're at a place now, take, say, the Supreme Court decisions this week, where it looks as the tide is flowing that way and may be unstoppable legally. But we've got to say as Christians, this is wrong. But you're making your choice, you will have incredible consequences, psychological confusion, social chaos, and we will live differently. The trouble is much of the church at the moment isn't living very differently. And we've got to do that, even if our culture is bent on going to hell in the handbasket.
You know, I have been chomping at the bit to ask you this question. It sort of stems from this end-time theology, which is so prevalent now, a box office movie, and Left Behind, Nicolas Cage is starring in it, and so forth. The basic idea ultimately is that it's going to be Russia that attacks Israel from the north. I mean, let Ezekiel mention the word Rosh, and end-time speculators quickly say Rosh sounds like Russia, even though Russia is an 11th century Viking word. But now it has the power to implicate Russia in a big end-time scenario. But I find it highly ironic that Russia is looking today at what is happening in the West with the LGBTQ movement and says this is a prime example of spiritual decay in Western Europe and America. So they're chiding America and Europe about spiritual decay, all the while end time speculators are calling them the evil empire. Now, I'm not trying to whitewash Russia in any way, but I think it is highly ironic, as I say, that they are now chiding us for this kind of illiberal liberalism that you talk about in the book.
Yes, and you can see what a pretty pass we've come to use the old term. You know, when the Russians are the critics of decadence, and they're attacking us as proponents of decadence. But what's true is much of our culture at the elite level is rather like Weimar Germany, and it was unsustainable, and it will lead to the chaos which produces something such as an authoritarian leadership coming or whatever that is disastrous. So Putin is right about that. He's totally wrong in his response, whether in Ukraine or his general policy. But he's right. The West is decadent, increasingly decadent. And we will reap the fruit of this Weimar decadence. And we can't mock the Lord on that. And you think of the phrase three times in Romans 1. He gave them over. And judgment, as you know well, Hank, is judgment is not God zapping people like a long-distance drone strike. It's very often God's leaving people or driving people to the logical consequences of their own settled choices. And you can see whether it's same-sex marriage or the gay things or whatever. You know, there will be psychological confusion and immense social chaos. And we're reaping what we're sowing.
Oz Guinness, he is the author of Renaissance, The Power of the Gospel, However Dark the Times. This book, I mean, you just have to read it. Titanic shifts are taking place. We stand on the threshold of global tipping points, and as faith-filled Christians, we have the power through the Spirit to alter the trajectory of human history. You got to get the book Renaissance by Oz Guinness. You can get your copy on the web for your gift, or you can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, resource consultant standing by, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. As you talk about three global tasks, you've already alluded to one of them. The Global South is in desperate need of discipleship. But you also talk about the global task of winning back the West, and you point out that there's a precedent for that.
Absolutely. I mean, you think of people today who give us this theory that just as the sun goes around the world, so it's setting in the West and it's rising now, and say, in Asia. But that's totally unbiblical. If you think of our history, we in the West are the heirs of two, not one, but two earlier missions to the West, which were incredibly successful. The first, the conversion of the Roman Empire, a staggering achievement over three centuries. The second one, much less known, was the conversion of the barbarian kingdoms, because the Dark Ages, when the Western Empire, not the Eastern Empire, but when the Western Empire collapsed, so did much of the Western Church. And the Dark Ages were incredibly dark, barbarian, disease, plagued, and so on. And it was the conversion of those barbarians by the bringing of the gospel, say, the second St. Augustine from Rome, or the great Irish missionaries like Colin Barnes coming down from Bangor, that won Europe back again. So here we are at the twilight of the second great mission to the West after all these centuries. Instead of the gloom and doom, we should be saying, not through a cultural crusade, not through any political movement. Rather, we want to win the Western world back, person by person, sphere by sphere, to our Lord, the way it happened earlier. And so we should move out with confidence in the gospel and with hope.
The third global task that you allude to is the need for Christians to be willing to wrestle with problems that may well be unprecedented in human history. And I suppose as I read your book and I think of your position, the attitude of your heart, your aim is not so much to alarm us, but to awaken a sleeping giant. It's not to scare the saints, but to sober us to be ready and willing to put our hands to the plow.
Absolutely, Hank. I mean, I'm not an alarmist. there are serious challenges, and we've got to look at them in the light of the eye. But have no fear, the most common refrain in the scripture. And we should move out. God is greater than all. He can be trusted in every situation. So have no fear and move out, live out the gospel today, and who knows what the Lord can do despite the situation that we're facing. In other words, the world that our parents and grandparents knew, it's gone. Take in America, the world of the 1950s where, you know, Billy Graham and in the Eisenhower era was so, that world is gone. It's anything but Christianity now. But if we live out the gospel over the next 25 years, who knows what the Lord might do, even in the West. And for me, you have a couple of challenges. One is, can any faith have the integrity and effectiveness to prevail over the challenges of the modern world? That's a huge question. We might tackle another time. But the second question is, in this sort of crunch era, where many of the global challenges are converging, the future of humanity is at stake. And our atheist friends don't have the answer. Hinduism, Buddhism, the cults, they don't have the answer. It's not a cliche or a truism to say that only the deepest answers are in the gospel. But we've got to show that by speaking out, living out the gospel in ways that really have integrity and effectiveness in our world today.
Again, the title of the book, Renaissance, The Power of the Gospel, However Dark the Times, it is by Oz Guinness, and it is a must-read. Oz, we deeply, I mean deeply, appreciate you. You have shaped my life and ministry in ways that you will probably never understand this side of eternity. You are deeply loved and appreciated.
Well, that's so kind of you, and it's thoroughly mutual. As I began, the name of the game today is faithfulness, with so many people compromising and diluting. And you and your program are known for that. So I would say God bless you and keep on. Real privilege to be with you.
And we look forward to talking to you as you keep coming out with prophetic books for our generation. God bless you, my friend.
Thank you.
And again, the book Renaissance, available for your gift. You can get your copy on the web at equip.org, or you can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. When we come back from the break, we're going to be taking your calls right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. That translates to 888-275-4265. And I should note, as we go to break, the real urgent need for support. As we say so often, the gospel's free. Someone has to put in the plumbing. And it's not about giving to us, but giving through us so that we can, in fact, engage these three grand global tasks that Oz talked about. The global South is in desperate need of discipleship. Quite frankly, new converts are being picked off every single day. In fact, in mass, by the kingdom of the cults in the global South. And we have to commit ourselves to winning back the West. And as Oz pointed out, there's a precedent for that as well. We'll be back. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. Answers to your questions next.
Growing numbers of people are persuaded that the best days of the Christian faith are behind us, and that our descent into a new dark age is gaining momentum. Is there a genuine hope for societal redemption and renewal in the midst of these troubling times? In his new book, Renaissance, The Power of the Gospel, However Dark the Times, Dr. Oz Guinness declares a resounding yes. When the gospel is lived out in practice, it is the most powerful force in history, both for individuals and for entire societies. The Christian faith has transformed entire cultures and civilizations. And Christians may yet change the world again if we answer the call to a new Christian renaissance. To receive your copy of Renaissance as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. Or visit equip.org, equip.org. Hank will return in a moment.
We'll be right back.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Due in part to the popularity of the Left Behind novels, now a big-budget apocalyptic action film, millions believe that Jesus will secretly rapture his church 7 years before his second coming. But for 1900 years of church history, no one separated these two events. Christians today need to ask whether this teaching has any basis in sound biblical exegesis. Other topics include, did Jesus go to hell? How does sanctification work? Part 2, A Mind for the Beautiful, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also included is the entire 2-hour audio Gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This 2-hour audio Gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater, the text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.
In his book, Renaissance, The Power of the Gospel, However Dark the Times, Dr. Oz Guinness notes that after a half a millennium of dominance, the West is being eclipsed in the global era. The United States, as the lead society in the West, stands on the verge of relative, if not absolute, decline. Guinness sadly but soberly concludes that much of the Christian church in both Europe and North America is in a sorry state of weakness, confusion, unfaithfulness, and cultural captivity. Is there a reasonable hope for a turnaround in the midst of these troubling trends? A resounding yes is his conclusion, as he shows why the gospel is the most powerful force in history. To receive your copy of Renaissance, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Due in part to the popularity of the Left Behind novels, now a big-budget apocalyptic action film, millions believe that Jesus will secretly recapture his church 7 years before his second coming. But for 1900 years of church history, no one separated these two events. Christians today need to ask whether this doctrine and the dispensational theology from which it is derived have any basis in sound biblical exegesis. Learn how the Left Behind phenomenon has gone from root to ripened fruit in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Subscribe today by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And we're going to go right to your calls now. First up, today is Albert. He's listening in Millbrook, Alabama, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Albert.
Hey, Hank. How you doing, man?
Doing great.
Good. Thank you for taking my call. I had a question. I was doing some reading last night and came to a question about whether or not Jesus actually knew that he was the Messiah, or his awareness of himself. And I think the question came out of the fact that the person who wrote the book had some misgivings about the authenticity of the Gospels, because my first question was, well, what about the I am statement? Those kind of point to him knowing who he was, but what is your take on that? I mean, I just think it's kind of weird to encounter that in a book fine author who's supposed to be a noted theologian, and so I just wanted to get your take on that.
Sure. I mean, Jesus addresses that himself. It was the Feast of Dedication, and John writes about this. Jesus is in Jerusalem. It's winter. Jesus was in the temple, and he was walking in Solomon's colonnade. So there's a whole historical context provided by John. And as it turns out, this is a parenthetical point that I want to make, but it turns out that not just the people and the places, but even the minute particulars in John's gospel have been proven to correspond to reality as a result of archaeological digs in our own epoch of time. But so Jesus is in that particular place at that particular time, and the Jews are gathered around him, and they're saying, how long are you going to keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, why don't you just tell us in plain language? And then Jesus says, I tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. So Jesus makes an emphatic statement with respect to his own messianic ministry. In the Gospel of John, this is the climax of the public ministry of Jesus Christ, and his teaching has pointed to his identity as the Son of God. His miracles underscore that very claim, and in John chapter 8, Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am, as you note to the prologue of the question. His entire manner of life pointed to his identity. So the notion that somehow or other he was unaware of his messianic mission or that he was a false apocalyptic prophet is simply propaganda which people suck up in an age of biblical illiteracy, and I would say historical illiteracy as well.
I had those things because the moment I read that, my first question was, if the I am statements are authentic, then those are definitive statements that he made with regards to his messiahship as well as his deity. And so it's like, how can you discount that and all of a sudden say he didn't know who he was? It just didn't make sense. And, you know, I appreciate that answer because that makes perfect sense. If the scriptures are valid and if they've been verified, then how is it that there can even be a question as to whether or not he knew who he was? So I appreciate that answer.
Well, I got to tell you, Albert, as much as you may appreciate my answer, I appreciate your summary more because I think you just in a very concise way point out that not only the Bible, but Christ himself claimed to be God, claimed his messianic mission, and demonstrated the reality of it through the miraculous.
Amen. Thank you so much for that, man. I really appreciate you, and I support your ministry 100%. So thanks a lot.
Bless you, Albert. Thank you so much. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Maggie. She's listening in Richmond, Virginia, WJYK. Hi, Maggie.
Hi. How are you? My question is about, yesterday they just made gay marriage legal here in Virginia. And so I was just like, and I have friends that are gay, and like, it just confuses me because they're trying to say like they love, you know, they are born that way and they, you know, want to be with a monogamous relationship with one person, you know, in love. And then I went online trying to read something about it, and, you know, there are some sites that, you know, are like, oh, it's wrong, blah, 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 it's terrible, and it sounds all hateful. And then there was, like, a gay Christian site that was saying, like, there's really nothing in the Bible that says that they're talking about prostitutes. When they talk about homosexuality, it's always talking about, like, a male prostitute in the shrines. And when they have a ritual where they would, you know, these pagan rituals or whatever, and they would worship these idols and they would have these male prostitutes. And it seems, and they had, and this guy who wrote, had this website sounded so intelligent. He was pulling how the Greek and Hebrew words actually translate as talking about, you know, prostitution rather than a loving relationship between two men or two women or whatever. And I just want to know, like, because it just seems hateful in a way, the way a lot of Christians are about it. And honestly, for myself, yeah, it seems like it's wrong to me, but then I feel like maybe I'm just feeling that way because that's how I was brought up and that's what I was taught. And, you know, maybe is it possible that maybe we interpreted it wrong?
No, in fact, the interpretation that you note in your question is very creative, but it is hardly correct. And the narrative, unfortunately, has been changed from homosexuality or same-sex marriage as a behavior to an identity. And when that narrative changes, everything changes along with it. But you make some good points. It is true that many Christians need an attitude adjustment because in place of a we-they-siege mentality, we have to commit ourselves to becoming salt and light and to do so with gentleness and with respect. So the God hates fags mentality is more conducive to repelling than reaching a culture that is steeped in sin and confusion. We can preach the right things in the wrong ways. We can be too aggressive, or on the other hand, we can be too meek. When either conviction or compassion is being compromised, as Joe Dallas once said, a revision is in order. But look, it's not only the Bible that makes plain that homosexuality is dangerous for people. And by the way, that's the real issue. Jesus is simply putting parameters around the lives of people so that their lives may be fulfilled. He's not a cosmic killjoy, but he knows how we are created. He knit us together in our mother's wombs. And therefore, if we violate natural law, we all pay a price. So if you really love a person, you tell them the truth, but you do it in gentleness and respect. But it's, again, not just the Bible that one has to point to, although that is the final arbiter for faith and practice. You can look at social sciences. They demonstrate that children are best served by marriage defined as a mother and a father. All the metrics point in that direction. This is not a spiritual contention. This is a secular contention as well. As far as sexual reproduction is concerned, it requires marriage. And it requires marriage as the union of a father or a mother. That's plain and simple biological reality. And marriage redefinition, at the end of the day, is going to devalue civil society. In the process, it's going to damage women and children. So if you care for the vulnerable, then you will resist in a manner of meekness and humility, those kinds of things that devalue all of civil society. This is not an area in which to capitulate, nor is it an area in which to be crude. We need to be compassionate as Christians, speaking the truth again with gentleness and respect, or another way of saying that is with meekness and with reverence. But we must speak the truth. You know, if you ever spend some time, as I have, listening to the gay narrative, you can listen to it on Sirius XM. There's a whole channel devoted to it. You listen to it for a couple of days, and I think the whole stereotypical, whitewashed, airbrushed view of homosexuality will vanish, not because of hateful words on the part of Christians, but simply because of the narrative that you hear by the community itself.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know. I have some friends that... I have a lesbian friend, and she's so, like, if I try to talk about church or the Bible, she, like, because a lot of them feel like we're just hateful and against them, and because they think they're born that way. Like, they don't think that they're choosing that lifestyle.
Yeah, but even if you take that argument, which I think there's very little basis for, but even if you grant the argument and say, okay, so you're born that way. If I'm born with certain proclivities that are harmful, let's say I'm born with proclivities to steal things, and I say, well, I was just born that way. Does that make stealing right? If I'm born in such a way that I have a real strong affinity for little boys under the age of 10, would that make pedophilia right? I mean, being born that way, we're all born in sin, and we have to resist sinful proclivities. Now, we're not the ones, certainly on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, that are making this a flashpoint issue. What we're doing is recognizing sin in all categories and saying that the solution is Jesus Christ. That the principles that Jesus Christ lays down for us will bring humanity peace and joy, and violating those principles always leads to ruin. So it's not about us being better than another community. It is that we are those who are arbiters or ambassadors for Jesus Christ, having to communicate the principles and precepts of his kingdom. Now, we may not fully understand or grasp the principles, but if we believe that he is the King of Glory, the one who spoke and 100 billion galaxies leapt into existence, the one who knit us together in our mother's womb, then we must say that he also knows how we are made fearfully and wonderfully, and to violate that by using the body in the way it was not designed, leads to all kinds of difficulties. So we have to speak the truth. We have to speak the truth in love. And I think, as the question alludes to, we need to be well informed, because Scripture has been turned into a wax nose by many different communities. We'll be right back.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources to sharpen your discernment skills and help you grow in life and truth. We provide books, videos, and informative articles. You can also listen to the broadcast live, download archived programs, get answers to pressing Bible questions, follow our blog, or connect with us via social media. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Western cultural elites have disregarded God for more than two centuries, but now, in the early 21st century, Dr. Oz Guinness concludes that their movement from disregard to desecration to decadence is going mainstream, and the United States is only the lead society among those close to the tipping point. Is there genuine hope for societal redemption in the midst of growing decadence? In his book, Renaissance, The Power of the Gospel, However Dark the Times, Dr. Oz Guinness declares a resounding yes. When the gospel is lived out in practice, it is the most powerful force in history, both for individuals and for entire societies. To receive your copy of Renaissance as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also included is the entire 2-hour audio gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This 2-hour audio gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater, the text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.